Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the man in the bathroom with her? She didn't see him, but he called her by her name.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story, we want to hear about it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, you'll also get access to the archive. You can become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts, and I will add that the archive is huge. It's massive. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and my sister Kathy Gordon's with me today.
Well, hey, y'all. How you doing?
You know, when I read that intro, it made me think of years ago. Like, this was before there was bathrooms that men or women could go into. And so I was at a bar, and I went to the bathroom.
That sounded kind of, okay, I'm with you now. When you said there were bathrooms before men or women could go into them, and I'm like, so who went into them?
Children. They're just children bathrooms back just in the olden days.
Bathrooms. Little tiny bathrooms for little tiny people.
No, but now you know how they have it. Most of them are just one stall, but, you know, anybody can go in the bathroom. And honestly, I really don't care. If I have a door that closes, I really don't care at this point if there's a guy going to the bathroom in the stall next to me. But I was in a bar, and the thing was is that this guy goes into the stall next to me. He's going to the bathroom. And I thought the entire time I was in the men's room. I was like, oh my God, I'm in the men's room. Oh my God, I've got to get out of here. Oh my God. And so I wait for him to leave so I can sneak out. And then I walk out and I turn around and then I realize he was in the women's. I was in the
He was in the women's.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that whole time I'm like going, oh my God, I'm in the men's room.
You know, so there you were feeling really dumb and it wasn't you at all.
It was another drunk person. It wasn't
honestly,
the drunk person.
Nine times out of 10 when you feel embarrassed or some or whatever, it's not even a thing. Like nobody else even noticed or even cared, but we're just mortified, you know.
Although I will say I have done some rather embarrassing things in my day. So,
have you?
Yeah, my God.
Really?
Oh, we don't need to share those though. Okay, so let's go to a story. We've got one from Tracy from the great state of West Virginia. That sounds like a Miss America. Hi, I'm Tracy from the great state of West Virginia.
That's sort of, yeah, that was pretty good.
Like, I'm Carol from the great state
of
Kansas. Sounds
like you did some pageant work in your life.
I haven't. No. Just in my dreams. I hope everything is going well on your end of the podcast. This takes place when I was 17 years old. It was summer, as with every summer, we spent much of our time at Claytor. I don't know, maybe it's Clayton, maybe it's just a typo. Maybe it's Claytor Lake in Dublin, Virginia. My family belonged to a small private campground / conservation club there, and we spent nearly every weekend swimming, fishing, boating, and generally enjoying the lake. That sounds kind of beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
My family consisted of my parents, my younger sister, two aunts, two uncles, and every weekend we would head to the campground and stay usually 2 or 3 days depending on work schedules. Looking back, these were some of the best days of my life because I got to spend it with those people I love the most. Oh. Anyway, the campground was basically situated on top of a mountain with camping spots cut out in various areas of the forest. The point of our club was to conserve Mother Nature, so the forest was still very dense. Wildlife still lived there, and it was not unusual to see deer and even the occasional bear wander out of the forest. A long dirt road connects all the camping spots to the bathhouse, picnic shelter, and the docking area at the bottom of the mountain. There are a few dusk to dawn lights, maybe 5, for the entire campground, so night can be very dark. Most people have small decks or porches built off their campers with a few torches or strings of light, but those are usually kept to a minimum. The closest town to the campground is about 10 miles away, so there isn't a lot of light pollution either. On this night in particular, my family and I gathered on our pontoon boat at about 8 o'clock at night. My family enjoys catfishing at night, so we had made plans to stay out until the wee hours of the morning. I, however, hated fishing, so I came equipped to read and doze on the boat. The boat trip was uneventful. We cruised the lake, fished, slept a little, and had a good time. At about 3 a.m, my family docked our boat and prepared to disembark. Our trucks were parked at the picnic shelter because we weren't allowed to park at the boating slip. The way to get back to the cars was a long, unlit, winding trail back up the side of the hill. Thick trees lined the path, so at a certain point, it was pitch black on the trail. My family busied themselves gathering up our things from the boat, and I had a sudden and overwhelming urge to urinate. I thought my bladder was going to burst, and I told my mom I was going to head up the hill alone. I hated going alone, but everyone else was busy and wanting to get back to the camper, and I unfortunately could not wait. I grabbed a flashlight and made the dark trek to the bathhouse that was near the parking area and the picnic shelter. It was very quiet as I headed up the hill. I could still hear the muffled voices of my family. However, the further I went up the trail, the quieter it became. The light quickly bled away, and I was enveloped in the darkness and the quiet. I'm going to interject here. Just that alone is enough to kind of creep me out. Like being someplace that's so dark and it's very wooded and trails and you can't really see. And I don't know necessarily it would be paranormal, as it could, anything could jump out in front of you. You could be attacked by the bears. I don't know.
I'm going serial killer.
Serial killer. There's always a Bigfoot or something like that, some kind of cryptid that could show up. So there's a lot of things to be afraid of.
There are a lot of things to be afraid of.
So it says the parking lot was empty except for my family's vehicles and a dusk to dawn light. This area of the campground did not have any campers. They were up the mountain a good ways, about a fourth of a mile or so. I was completely alone, and I could see the dark blob in the distance that was the bathhouse. I almost thought it was going to be
a dark blob. I thought
she
was going to be like a shadow figure.
It was like some dark mass up at the end of the trail, but I had to pee so bad I was braving it. That would be a tough thing, you know. It's like, oh my God, there's a shadow figure, but I really got to pee. You'd have to think about that for a minute. I went to the door, unlocking the hasp lock. Is that a thing? H-A-S-P? A hasp lock? A mechanism that upon completely closing the door, you had to fold a piece of metal over the other piece of metal. That was done so that snakes or other wildlife wouldn't get into the bathhouse by accident. Okay.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The doorknob latched, but not very securely, so the hasp lock was put into place as an extra precaution. At this point, I'm literally doing a little dance, trying to juggle the lock and my flashlight and not wet myself. The bathhouse itself is separate men's and women's facility. The building is about 15 feet long by 18 feet high, made of cinder block and a tin roof. There were skylights made of opaque, thick, hard plastic, which acted to give natural lighting during the day but did nothing at night. A single bulb held the center of each bathroom. A single bulb hung in the center of each bathroom, casting shadows into the shower stall and two small toilet stalls. I flipped on the light and closed the door behind me with a very loud, resounding squeal. I was alone in the bathhouse and could tell by the absolute silence that the men's room was empty as well. Entering the stall, I took my place on the toilet and began to relieve myself. My flashlight sat at my feet in front of me, casting a beam of light onto the floor. I sighed, happy that I hadn't exploded, and kept my dignity when I heard a voice say, "Tracy?" It was a deep, gravelly voice. Oh, that would be more like...
"Tracy?
Too much? That's kind of deep and gravelly.
That would scare me. Yeah, that...
Tracy!
Oh, geez.
I tried to make it more gravelly.
That's really gravelly.
Thank you. It was a deep, gravelly voice, and the sound startled me at first. Duh, as it would. And I replied,
"Oh my God.
Yeah." The deep realization touched my brain. This was not the voice of anyone I recognized. My heart skipped a beat as I sat there waiting to see if I would hear the door squeak open. The voice spoke again, and the words chilled me to my marrow.
I can see you, and I'm here.
That was really good delivery. His voice seemed colder than it had seconds before. Terror filled me, and I jumped up, yanking up my shorts and unlocking the bathroom stall at the same time. I ran out of the bathroom, the door slamming behind me, running toward the parking lot. My family was all there, packing up our things. My dad and one of my uncles saw me and realized something was wrong. "See a snake?" my dad asked with a bit of a laugh. Everything was still very quiet. Not even the sound of crickets or frogs were filling the air. All I could do was shake my head frantically as I tried to open the door to the truck. "A man!" I blurted out. My dad and uncle took off no more than 20 seconds after I had appeared through the bathroom door. They went into the bathhouse searching for a man. My remaining family tried to calm me down, but I was petrified. I could see them opening and closing the door to both the men's and women's room, looking around the entire building and even up into the dense forest for a good 15 minutes. And then they came back. "Where did you see the man?" my dad asked. I was still shaking. "I didn't see him. He said he could see me." I told him, and my voice was shaking with tears. My dad and uncle told my mom and the women's room. My dad and uncle told my mom that the women's room was unlocked and empty just as I had left it. My flashlight was on the floor where I had left it. He told my mom that they had to open the hasp on the men's room to check it, but no one was inside and no one could have locked it from the inside. They had checked around the building and up into the woods, but couldn't find any evidence that anyone had run away. The woods are very thick behind the bathhouse, and you could be wandering blind without a light source in them. My mom and aunts told my dad and uncle that they hadn't seen anyone or anything. To this day, I don't know what spoke to me. I've had a hard time returning to that particular bathhouse and felt a sense of unease when I'm there, even before this incident occurred. I am positive I wasn't imagining things and haven't had an incident like that before since. Keep up the great work. I'll write in again to tell you about the strange incidents that occasionally occur at my home. Tracy. So where are you going with that one? Do you think? Because I had a thought as I was reading that story.
What was your thought?
Do you think it's possible that someone could put some kind of video camera in there and, you know, it's like motion detected. And so then, you know, some creepy old guy who like likes to watch women go to the bathroom, but it has a microphone on it and he's able to talk to them or he's able to say something. I mean, it'd be a lot of work and it probably, I mean, there is electricity.
How long ago do you think this was?
I don't know.
That might, you know, be part of that. If, you know, if it was quite a while ago, that.
Let's see. This takes place when I was 17 years old, so
we don't know how old she is.
She could be 50.
Yeah, she could be 35.
She could be 18.
25. Yeah. Possibly, you know, if that kind of technology was around then, that could be.
It does seem like something.
And the guys, when they went in to look, just didn't see a, you know, a little camera.
You're not looking for that. And it's some, that is something a creepy, pervy person would do.
I know, but then you think.
But he said, Tracy. How would
pervert,
he know it's Tracy?
Paranormal pervert. That's bad.
But how would the perv know that her name was Tracy?
True.
I mean, unless
he watches
friend.
A lot, and maybe she'd been in there, and one of her friends called her Tracy or something. You know, or
it's
cousins
like
or somebody.
Some pervy camper person who, you know, they all kind of know each other because they go camping there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it also could be paranormal.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I mean, it could be. But it's weird that it would say, I see you, you know?
I know. Like,
that's such a strange kind of pervert sort of thing.
But it would make sense for a pervert ghost.
Yeah. But pervert ghosts?
That could be a thing. Don't you suppose if somebody is a pervert in life, they don't die and not become a pervert. If they're still going to haunt, wouldn't they still be kind of stuck in their ways? Like, once a pervert, always a pervert.
I don't know. Well, I'm hoping that that we all evolve somewhat after we die, so that we're not stuck in our same kinds of, you know, bad habits and things that we do. I kind of hope there's an evolution of that comes with death of some sort that,
gets us
out of the sins and the mistakes we do here.
But I think we've also met people, all of us, who are just creepy, weird, pervy people. You know, it's like, okay, just because you died is not going to clean that mess up that you left. So I don't know. I've wondered about that before. Like, do you literally see the light and see the light? Like, oh my gosh, I was such a pervert. I'm going to change my ways in the afterlife. Or do you come back and still be this creepy ghost? Is that where like creepy evil spirits come from? In part? Because there are creepy, evil people on Earth?
Well, now we've opened up a whole can of worms here, because now everybody's going to call us in with their creepy pervert ghost stories. And that would... But, you know, I'm just thinking, how many of those kinds of stories have I heard? Yeah. That it's a pervert kind of, you know, ghost.
And it could just be like a ghost that was trying to scare her. That seems to be a thing. Lots of ghosts
But the way he said, you know, like, I see you, you know, that is just...
That's the creepy part.
Yeah.
That's like
That's almost like, I'm kind of with you. That almost feels like somebody's got a little camera in there, you know.
So really, that story could go both ways.
It could. It could. And it possibly depends, too, on how long ago we're talking, I think.
And if it's a ghost that knew her and knew she was Tracy, then why would it say that kind of creepy thing? It would be like, Tracy, I know this is a bad time. You're going to the bathroom, but I'm here.
It's the only time I can get a hold of you. Like, without everybody else around.
Seems like a good time. You got a minute?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
I just think, but this kind of, that creepy, like, I can see you thing almost feels like you're right, like somebody's watching, you know?
Either way, whether it's a creepy person putting a video camera in there or some pervert ghost, it doesn't matter. Either one is as creepy as the other.
Yeah, I don't think one of them wins on this one.
No. Ugh, oh, I goodness. Don't like that story. Okay, yeah. So here's
And I do want her to write back about some of the things that are going on in her house, too.
Hopefully no creepy perverts.
Yeah.
Because that would get old really fast. It's like, there's enough
weirdness
in the world going on today, let alone for you to watch me go into the bathroom all the time.
I know, right?
Okay, here's our next story.
Hey, guys. I really enjoy the podcast. Been listening for a while now, and it's really entertaining. And I have an entertaining story for you. And it's not so much supernatural. It's just really freaking scary. So anyway, my name's Kevin, and I'm calling from New York, originally from Massachusetts, but the story took place in Houston, Texas, and that's a pretty big spectrum across the board, so it's going to be pretty cool. So here we go. So I took a vacation down to Houston in the summer of 2000 to visit my aunt and cousins for a week by myself. And one night, I walked downstairs to get a glass of water, and the whole place is pretty much pitch dark and you can't see a thing. And I'm walking through the living room and down the stairs and through the areas of the house to get to the kitchen. And out of the dark, I hear peek-a-boo. And at this point, all the hairs on my body just stand on end. And it really freaks me out. So I try to let it go. And I go get my drink or whatever, and I'm coming back and I hear peekaboo again. And this time I'm going, what the F, you know, like what's going on? Who's saying peekaboo and whatever? And I'm walking around trying to find the source of this noise and who or what is calling out to me. And I go to the corner of the room to where the voice is calling out. And it's, again, saying, peekaboo. And I find the light switch and turn on the lights. And again, it goes, peekaboo. And I can't see anything. I don't hear anything. And I can't, for my life, figure out where this is coming from. So the next morning comes around. And I go, I say hi to my family and all that stuff. And the day is getting started and everything. And I go to my aunt and family and I say, I heard this voice last night coming out of the dark. And it was going, peekaboo. And it really freaked me out. Is your house haunted or is anything like that? Should I be nervous? And they go, oh, you don't have to worry about that, because that right there over there is a Big Bird doll, and it speaks when you walk by it. And if you cover its eyes and you open up the eyes, it says peekaboo. It's a motion center doll for my cousin Riley. At the time, he was just a baby, and that scared the living crap out of me, and to this day, I've been getting hell from them ever since about it, and to this day, I will not own a doll, I will not mess around with dolls, voice activated or not, and I just think talking dolls and dolls in general are really creepy, so I just wanted to share that with you. I love the show. I listen to it daily at work and otherwise. And keep up the great work, you guys. And I hope you all have a happy Halloween. And your show is pretty awesome. Thanks so much. Again, my name's Kevin. And there's my story of the talking doll. And it really creeps me out. All right, guys. Thanks. Bye.
So that's about the creepiest thing I think you could hear in the middle of the night, other than Tracy, I'm watching you.
I'm watching you. Yeah, I see you. No, I agree. That's totally creepy. That is so scary. And they should have put the, I don't know. I guess you can't prepare everybody for everything that's in your house. But, you know, the poor guy that, you know, they were like, oh, well, that's just that doll that says peekaboo, you know, like, that's so scary.
Yeah, and it's totally debunked everything. It's not a paranormal story at all, but it's a scary story.
It's a really scary story.
Because when it happens, if it happens to you and you're hearing this peekaboo, and it would be kind of like, that kind of sounds like Big Bird. That's strange. Yeah. But who wants a doll that every time you walk by, it says that?
I don't. And not only do I not, I don't really want any dolls, let alone one that, let alone the talking dolls.
You know, I've got a doll in my garage that
Okay, well, I'm never coming to your house again. And that's
One that I had when I was a little girl, and our grandmother used to make wedding dresses, so I kept it because she made the wedding dress for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, she had a little hole in her belly back then, and then you could make her hair longer. Like you would push the button in her belly and her velvet, something like that. Her name was Velvet, which kind of sounds like a stripper name. So she's a stripper doll and her hair gets longer and shorter. But I kept that doll, but it is like in a tub and it never comes out. And now that I remembered it's in there, I don't know what I'm going to do with my little stripper doll.
Now you're in trouble.
But I think that's a, do you have one?
Do I have a doll?
Mm-hmm. In your house anymore?
Not the, no.
I think that's all I got.
You know, I had the, you know, I hot potatoed the grandma doll.
Well, because it was here for a while.
Yeah, and I left it at
I left it in
house.
My garage.
Like, oh, I think you'll want to show that to Cindy. So I'm leaving it here, you know. And but I'm probably going to end up back with the thing again, trying to decide what to do with it.
I know, because when our mother, she is going to be moving out of where she lives. So when she moves out of where she lives, I'm going to make sure that little Cupid doll from the early 1900s gets to you.
And then I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. I do not know. But I, you know, my grandma gave it to me. I do not know why. So I guess for some reason or other, I've got it.
And I think it's missing an arm. So there's that.
There's that.
So if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. It's a Cupid doll amputee. You can call in anytime, 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can get an ad-free version of the show. You'll also get advanced episodes and access to the archive by becoming a premium subscriber. Do it through Apple Podcasts. You can also do it through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.